Hello. Today I'll talk about Abraham's fear in Egypt. I will have to give you a bit of a background as to how Abraham got into Egypt. And with the help of this map, it will be more familiar to you. You recall that this is the map of Abraham when the green line shows that Terah, Abraham and the family got away from Ur and moved all the way to Haran and dwelt in Haran. And after that, Abraham got a call from God to go to the promised land, and he left Haran and moved all the way down to Canaan, the promised land. And shortly thereafter, there was a famine in Canaan, severe famine, as we read in Genesis. Severe famine means no food, no water, animals dying, human beings dying. And so it was very tragic. And they have to save themselves from the famine by moving down south in Egypt. So they move to Egypt. You see this a pink line of Abraham and his family and Sarah moving down to Egypt. And what happens in Egypt? Let me read to you in scripture. Genesis 12, 11 to 13. And it came to pass when he was come near to enter into Egypt, that he said unto Sarai, his wife, Behold, now I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. Therefore it shall come to pass when the Egyptians shall see thee, that they shall say, This is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will save thee alive. Say, I pray thee, thou art my sister, that it may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee. So, very interesting passage in scripture. As they were going down to Egypt to run away from the famine and to get to Egypt where there is food, water. As you know, Egypt is a powerful country during those days. The great Egyptian pharaoh, and their rich and fertile agricultural products. They have food, they have water, people live well. And Abraham was afraid for his life that he may be killed when they enter Egypt, because the Egyptians love beautiful women, and that the Egyptians will go for Sarah, who is a fair woman, as scripture would have you know. In verse 11 of Genesis 12, Sarah, his wife, Behold, now I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. So she was beautiful. And Abraham was afraid that the Egyptians would be attracted to her, and the way to possess her is to kill the husband. So Abraham instinctively protects himself, asking Sarah, say, you are my sister, not my wife, because if you say you are my wife, they will kill me, and then you'll be a widow, and they will take over the widow. So very natural thing for Abraham to do. Yeah? Instinctively, self-protection. So what do we learn about this? Abraham's weakness. Yeah? The spiritual lesson here is Abraham has all the weakness of humans. Despite Abraham's weakness, God chose him to be the father of the chosen nation in the promised land. If you recall, before Abraham, there was no Israel. There was no tribe of the Israelite. God called Abraham out of Haran to go to the promised land to establish the promised land as the kingdom of God. And the people of Abraham are the chosen people. Abraham was chosen to be the father of the chosen race of God, the Jewish people. And what have you here? Abraham was afraid for his life. Why did God choose such a weak man? Is that a surprise to all of us? You read further on in the patriarchs and even in the New Testament, many weak people did extraordinary things for God. So that is God's spiritual lesson to us, that He chose people like you and I, weak, sinful, to do extraordinary things for Him. So let me move on the scripture. And it came to pass, I'm reading from chapter 12, verse 14, came to pass that when Abram was come into Egypt, the Egyptians beheld that the woman, that she was very fair. So true enough, the Egyptians saw Sarah as a very beautiful woman. The princes also of Pharaoh saw her and commended her before Pharaoh. And the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. So the princes also of Pharaoh means officials of Pharaoh. They saw Sarah and she was beautiful. And just they took her to Pharaoh's palace. So, and Abraham and Pharaoh treated Abraham well. That is verse 16. Let me read to you verse 16. And he entreated Abram well for her sake. And he had sheep and oxen and he asses and manservants and maidservants and she asses and camels. So Pharaoh was very good to the so-called brother of Sarah and gave the brother a lot of sheep, oxen, asses, manservants, maidservants, she asses, and camels. So the so-called lie worked, yeah, in Abraham's favor. But Sarah was taken. Abraham's wife was taken to be Pharaoh's harem. In those days, the Pharaoh has many wives and consorts and is a harem. So now I would like to show you a clip of the video of Abraham and his group entering Egypt and how they were confronted by the Egyptians and events that followed. And I would like to caution viewers here that there are many inaccurate parts in the video because this video is a movie made from the story of the life of Abraham. Naturally, movie makers will make it more exciting and more interesting. They will add in conversations between characters which are not in the Bible. Some of the events may not be in the Bible, may be inaccurate. So I would advise caution when you view this movie. What is important that you have to watch and pay attention to is the relationship between the Egyptian official and Abraham and his group that's taking refuge in Egypt. Remember, Abraham are not going in as welcome guests. They are going in as refugees, fleeing from the famine in Canaan. And the Egyptian masters are rich. They have no fear of the famine. And they see Abraham coming to them as refugees, seeking food, water, shelter, and getting benefits from them. So they are not welcoming. And I want you to observe this difference in relationship between these two groups of people and how they also just take Sarah for the interest of their Pharaoh. Yeah. They are powerful people. They do what they wish and they get what they want. So watch the video.
You are
Abram, son of Terah.
And these are
my people.
Do you think you could be a little more precise than that?
Yes, Lot, son of Haran, my nephew, Eleazar of Damascus, Sarai, daughter of Terah, my sister, and...
Enough, enough, enough. Just count them.
53 now.
What do you want in Egypt?
We like to rest a while. Pasture the animals. Trade.
Trade?
Yes, trade.
Huh? Trade what?
We spin wool. And tan hides, make tunics, cheese, sandals.
You're a little late.
Late?
Late. Egypt's choking with nomads and their filthy sheep. The hills look like maggots crawling on a dung heap. Permission to enter. Denied.
Denied.
Denied. You, wait. A bit warm for all this, don't you think?
And for your crimes of theft against this merchant, it is the judgment of our Pharaoh that justice will prevail. Cut off their hands. Lovely, yes. Lovely woman. Now then, you. You are the brother, is that correct? And your people are shepherds, are they not? Splendid. You will be given 20 of sheep, 10 of cattle, oxen and carts filled with food, tents and so forth, plus grazing land in the delta. You will obey Egyptian laws, pay Egyptian taxes, worship Egyptian gods. Your sister is now a member of the Pharaoh's household. I know it's a ridiculously large reward. Almost embarrassing, isn't it? But no need for thanks. The Pharaoh's generosity is as boundless as the light of the sun. Welcome to Egypt. Enjoy your stay.
So you see Sarah being taken into Pharaoh's household, and we carry on with the narrative, and I shall read to you what happens next in scripture. Genesis 12:17. And the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. And Pharaoh called Abram and said, "What is this that thou hast done unto me? Why didst thou not tell me that she was thy wife? Why sayest thou, she is my sister? So I might have taken her to me to wife. Now therefore, behold thy wife, take her and go thy way." And Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away and his wife and all that he had. Right, so there you are. God is in control of all circumstances. When Sarah is taken into Pharaoh's household, God intervened and sent a serious disease as a sign to Pharaoh not to take Sarah, because Sarah is the wife of Abraham. And Pharaoh realized that Sarah is Abraham's wife. He sent Abraham and Sarah away, including all their belongings. So again, I would like you to watch this part of the video. Look at the relationship between Pharaoh and Abraham in their conversation. Naturally, Pharaoh is the great almighty, great king, great emperor of Egypt. He has all the power and he has all the authority. If he wants Sarah, she has Sarah. He has Sarah. But remember, God inflicted Pharaoh with a serious disease. And Pharaoh cannot take the disease. It is pain and suffering to him. He has to get a cure. So the only way is to get rid of Sarah so that his health will come back. So there's one person or one being that's even mightier and more powerful than Pharaoh, none other than God himself. And Pharaoh has to give in to God's ways. So watch this part of the video. Again, you are cautioned of the inaccurate parts. I just want you to focus on the relationship between Pharaoh and Abraham and how Pharaoh had to give in ultimately to God Almighty and release Sarah back to Abraham.
Bring water. Call the doctor, quickly. Your Divine Majesty has had a dream. Tell me your dream, Your Majesty, that I may render its meaning.
Help me. I'm burning. I'm in pain.
This is a sign of how deeply you dream. Your Majesty,
I dream. I'm on fire.
My friend, you too. Your wives, your children, they are, like you, all afflicted.
I've been poisoned. Someone has poisoned me and my family.
But who, Max?
How shall I know who? But whoever it is, kill him! Kill him! Kill him! Kill him!
Lord, doing what we can, my Pharaoh.
Get me out!
It is possible, Majesty. A divine power, a god unknown to us, has unleashed his curse.
Curse? What curse? A god unknown to us, a god unknown to me, and the only
your Majesty,
god here.
The affliction, it's spreading among our populace. The panic is building. It's affecting more and more people. Our doctors are becoming desperate.
Pharaoh, I suspect this may be the curse of a foreign god, a god who has journeyed here with foreigners. Perhaps the desert people we have allowed to enter Egypt.
The desert people? You mean the people of the woman Sarai?
Yes, Majesty. Majesty, we have come to learn something that could explain the wrath of the god of these nomads.
A god under whose protection the woman called Sarai might be. We have arrested the leader of her people.
Her brother?
Her husband, Your Majesty. We should exterminate them. Kill them all. The men, the women, the children. The entire filthy tribe.
Have him brought here at once. Let him come in. In.
on your knees. I said, on your knees.
Let him stand. Come closer. I can't see him. Come closer. You see what you have done to me, to my family and my people. By your deceit, some god has taken revenge for an offense of which I'm innocent. Why did you lie to us? Why did you say she's your sister? Why? Why?
I lied. But to my God, it is a greater offense to kill a man and steal his wife than it is to lie.
What God? Strange God. What sort of mysterious God is he?
Strange, yes. And mysterious. He has spoken to me and...
He has spoken to you?
Yes.
How?
In here. He has guided my people.
He's guided you into my Egypt. Why?
Why? I don't know. I don't know even if he has.
You see, you don't know. It's all imagination. It's all your fantasy. Oh, what sort of a god is that? Do you think it's just that we have to suffer, the people, my family, and me, because of your lie? Can he take this curse off us? Who are you?
Abram, a shepherd.
Shepherd.
Where is Sarai?
Your wife is my property. She is in my household. Your God has sent her to me. To me.
There are many things of which I am uncertain, but one thing I am certain of, that my God did not send her to you. Look to her! Is she not without affliction? My God said, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. Look to her.
Take him away. Wait. I don't want to challenge your God anymore. Thus the Pharaoh decides. Take your wife, the slaves I gave her, take everything I've given you and your people. Everything you have touched, and be gone from my sight. Out of Egypt, to take your contamination with you. Go.
So you see the video of Pharaoh having this authoritative conversation with Abraham. And Pharaoh knew that God was in charge. God was the one who afflicted him with this sickness that he might release Sarah back to Abraham. And he won none of the sickness. All powerful, all authoritative Pharaoh has to give in to the Almighty God. And Abraham was so fearful for his life that he lied. And yet God was Almighty, sits on his throne. And Pharaoh was a puny man that God had to deal with easily. An affliction was all it needs to let Pharaoh release Sarah back to Abraham. And yet Abraham was so frightful. So many a times we do not know the omnipotent, the almighty, all-powerful God that we have. We are fearful of the circumstances of the human beings around us, that they hold sway above us. And we are so fearful of them. We become very anxious for our life, for our own circumstances, not knowing that God is above all of them. God is almighty. He is above all creatures and creations. He is above all circumstances. And all beings and events are before him, subject to his requirement. And so Pharaoh is but one of many creatures of God. And Pharaoh has to give in to Almighty God. So let me move on now to recap a few points. Despite Abraham's deceit, God was faithful to Abraham to deliver him out of trouble. Abraham, in order to preserve his own life, told Sarah to say he was her brother. Yeah, for a moment, Abraham has forgotten that there is Almighty God before him. God has given him a calling to be the father of a chosen people. But in his mind, he was so frightened that he would be killed if the Egyptians knew that Abraham was a husband. And so, and he told Sarah to lie for him that he was the brother. What would God have done on seeing Abraham telling a lie or arranging for the lie to be told by Sarah? One, God could say, this is a very weak Abraham. I no longer want him to be my chosen person. Let him be. I'm not going to save him and Sarah, since he is so weak and so faithless to me. And Sarah would remain to be in Pharaoh's harem, and Abraham would have lost his wife, and everything would have been lost. God didn't do that. Instead, God helped Abraham and rescued Sarah. Yeah. Back to Abraham. So, we have a God who is faithful to us. Despite Abraham's wrongdoings and deceit, God was faithful to Abraham. God just didn't just leave Abraham Abraham losing Sarah to Pharaoh. God intervened. And so it is with us that we too are God's children. And God is faithful to us in everything that we have done. So let me move on and talk a little bit more on the spiritual lessons that we learned. We learned that despite our own weaknesses, God is faithful and has delivered us out of many troubles. We are not unlike Abraham. Abraham is an ordinary shepherd chosen by God to do his task. God has also chosen us to be his children. And just as God is faithful to Abraham, God is faithful to all of us who are his children. And I'm sure you will also recall many a times in the past when you are in trouble and God has saved you all of your many trouble. You will also notice that God does not use mighty men to do his will. Look at Abraham. Is he a mighty man? He's a shepherd, looking after the sheep and the livestock, and given to failures like telling lies to protect himself. Natural instinct of man to preserve his life. God uses ordinary men to do extraordinary tasks. Ordinary men, the same weaknesses as you and I. We share the same weaknesses as Abraham's weaknesses. Fear giving rise to lies. Abraham feared for his life, and he told Sarah to lie to save himself. And repeated lies. And I'm talking about Abraham here. He repeated the same lie, or he got Sarah to repeat the same lie in Abimelech, king of Gerar, in chapter 20 of Genesis. Abraham carried out the same sin as in Pharaoh's instance. Aren't we like him? Lie after lies, we tell lies again. You know, it's not just once or twice, but many times. Abraham rather do his own will rather than God's will. And where is this? In the case of looking forward to his first son. God clearly told Abraham, Sarah would give birth to your first son. Abraham and Sarah both were impatient, and they hatched a scheme where Abraham will have a second wife in Hagar and have Hagar, the Egyptian bond servant of Sarah, give birth to a son. And that was not in accordance with God's will. God's will was Sarah give birth to the first son. So in their haste, they do their own will. They're so anxious to have a son. And Abraham and Sarah, both of them are getting on in age, approaching 100 years old and still no son. So they took things into their own hands and got a second wife for Abraham. And through second wife Hagar came Ishmael. Not God's will. In what way are we the same as Abraham? Fear giving rise to lies? Yes. Don't you all agree with me that it starts with fear and then lies come? I remember many children, they tell lies to their parents when their parent asks, did you break that? Not me. Right? Perhaps I was one of them when I was a kid. And my father asked me, did I break that? And instinctively, I know if I said yes, I will get a caning. In those days, it was caning. So fear sets in me. And I said, no, instinctively, not me. So there you are. And that sort of lies gets repeated. The fear of being punished, the fear of pain and suffering on our own self, the preservation of our own self instinctively gives birth to our lies. Yes? Doing our own will rather than God's will. Isn't that very familiar with all of us too? Yeah. I teach, and I just had exams for my students. And on one occasion, the script of one of the students came before me. I marked the script and parked and went on to the next one. And the next script was exactly the same as the first script I marked. They cheated. Why do they cheat? They want to preserve themselves. They want to have good marks, good achievement. They would rather do their own will to cheat than to do what is honest and right. So doing our own will to our own betterment, that's what we perceive it to be, rather than God's will or being honest and right in God's sight. So all these things are common in our lives, on this earth that we live in. And God used people with all these weaknesses for his great task. So let me move on to the other spiritual lessons. In later years, Abraham learned to be faithful to the Lord. So Abraham, having gone through the painful experience of meeting Pharaoh and subsequently also in meeting Abimelech, king of Gerar, and God taught him that God is always faithful to him and that he has not done the right thing before the Lord. And Abraham learned to be faithful to the Lord at the end. You will know that at the end, he passed the ultimate test where he had to sacrifice Isaac. And we will come to that later on in the future lesson. So the lesson is that we too face various afflictions in our life. We meet with troubles. We meet with sickness. We meet with many problems at work. Bosses, colleagues, staff, they are all a part of our life and they all bring problems into our life, how we manage them and how the bosses manage us. And through all these, we encounter many conflicts and trials. And we learn to be faithful to the Lord, just as Abraham learned to be faithful to the Lord. Afflictions are not coincidental. They are part of our sanctification process to be holy and faithful to the Lord. Yes, you look at Abraham. Why does he have to go through so many trouble in Egypt, later on, also in the Promised Land? He met with trouble with his nephew Lot. These are all troubles on this part of earth. And they are not coincidental. They are God's ordained afflictions for us, that we may be faithful to the Lord, that we may learn to do what is right before the Lord, to be holy and to be righteous. So never be complaining or be murmuring. Why has this unfortunate event overtaken me? Why am I sick? Why am I not able to achieve as my colleagues have done? Why am I still at a very average or below average level in my job roles? They are all there as part of our sanctification process. How do you react to afflictions? How do you react to pain and suffering? Do you take the easy way out? Do you lie? Do you cheat? Do you do things which is not right before the Lord to get ahead? All these is part of sanctification, you know, that we may come out as well-polished diamond for the Lord. So I want you to reflect on a few things here. The times when we have failed to live up to God's standard, and there will be few, there will be more than few, rather. And despite our failing, has God been faithful to you? How does knowing God's faithfulness spur you in your faith? Yes. And for myself, yes, I look back in my earlier years as a youth, I have the same feeling as many people have. The attraction of mammon, all the investment and the quick rich schemes are available. And of course, I've been through trouble being engaged in all those so-called attractive schemes. And it left me poorer than before. So I learned that for me, the process forward is God's ways rather than the ways of this world. And knowing that God will be faithful towards me, God will lift me up despite my failure. And in my past, naturally, I have also my fair share of failures. And God was there to deliver me from my painful failures and sickness. And I praise him and thank him, for he is great in faithfulness. So now, I would like you to listen to this hymn, meditate on the words. They are meaningful and they are of great doctrinal value. Great is thy faithfulness. And before I go to the hymn, perhaps I shall end here in a word of prayer. Loving Heavenly Father, we praise thee and thank thee for thy rich lessons in life. How much Abraham was afflicted, and he eventually learned to be faithful to thee. And how this is a great lesson for all of us, your children, that we are similarly afflicted. For many a times we have strayed, gone into the wayward path, and the afflictions brought us back to the right path. And we thank thee and praise thee, Lord, for thy goodness to us and not writing us off as worthless, but you are still faithful in delivering us from our trouble, despite our sins and our transgressions. Thou hast been good to us. Let us meditate on the times that we have failed, and yet you have been faithful. Truly remember all these times. And thou hast been good, truly good to us, in delivering us from all our troubles, all our fears and anxieties, because of our own weaknesses and our own failures, that we have gone into all these troubles and trials. And therefore, Lord, help us to be faithful to thee, to know that trials and tribulations cometh from you, so that we will have great faith in you, that you will deliver us from all these trials and rely on you as our solid rock, as our refuge, high tower and mighty fortress. And in you we will be secured, because thou art great in thy faithfulness to us. We pray all this in Christ's precious name. Amen.
Oh,
Great is God's faithfulness. My lesson ends here. Goodbye.